Women's Wellness Initiative. Cow Plunge.
Fourth Grade Challenge.
Diabetes Expo.
As a key sponsor of Mustangs Baseball and Chiefs Training Camp, Heartland is a number one fan for a healthy St. Joseph.
It is finally here, Chiefs fans. I'm pumped up. Voice of the Chiefs, Mitch Holthus, is pumped up. And everybody watching Chiefs Live presented by Heartland Health should be pumped up. Full padded practice. It's Sunday. It's time to put on the pads, Mitch. It's going to be a hot day out there, a great test, and always my favorite day of training camp is when the pads come on.
First time they've been in pads since they beat Tim Tebow 7-3 in the final game of the 2011 season. Anybody that's played football at any level, I don't care if it's your first day of middle school practice and you're going to put the pads on, or high school, you played in college, there is a funny feeling, a mixture of excitement and yet some trepidation. And even guys that have been in this league for as long as a Derek Johnson will always tell you, the first day in pads, there's something about it. So here we go.
As Brendan Albert said yesterday, and he's part of a storyline that's going to take place today, but he said the first day of pads you're always excited for. Now, after that, that's another story, because sometimes it drags on in camp. But the first day, why I like pads, Mitch, everybody's faster. Everybody's ready to hit. There is that genuine excitement that goes into it. Of course, you and I have talked so much about Dontari Poe and waiting to see what this guy can do in pads. That's going to come today. But we're also going to see another storyline. I mentioned Brandon Albert. He will not be in pads today. A new clause in the CBA keeps guys out until they have at least 3 days under their belts. This is the first time they can go in full pads. If you remember, Brandon Albert missed that very first walkthrough on Friday, the first day of camp, with family reasons. So that's going to keep him out of today's full padded practice. So what does that mean? It means we're going to see, more than likely, Donald Stevenson, the rookie third-round pick, manning that left tackle position on the first day of pads when everything's flying on the blind side. A big test for Donald Stevenson. I think it's a great thing to look for in today's practice.
Well, I mean, he played in the Big 12, but here's the other thing about him lining up today with the ones. Tom Bahali is going to be across from him. So not only do you line up in pads your first day as a National Football League player, you're going to be lined up against a Pro Bowler who's been one of the top sack guys in the league over the past 2 years. So he'll face an elite player right away, which I think makes it even more intriguing. You know, we always talk about the moniker in the NFL is you can't tell when guys are in shorts. Well, you can, and the spring is very important, particularly for receivers, DBs, quarterbacks, basically 7-on-7 football. You can do that's important. But for the O-line and D-line, just you talking about Dontari Poe, they can do some things in the spring, but today's when it really starts for them. And all that technique work and work that they've done during the spring has to get manifested. But when the pads come on, for offensive and defensive linemen, that's when you really start to evaluate who can do this and who can't do this.
Now, like, the Chiefs are setting their stars at offensive tackle, barring injury. It's going to be Albert on the left side, Eric Winston on the right side. Now, who's their backup? That it may be the most wide-open question of training camp. In fact, Romeo Crennel even issued a challenge to Donald Stevenson earlier this week.
We're going to rotate guys over there. You know, we got Mims. We have, who else do we have? Well, Stevenson, and that's a guy that we need to take a good look at, and so he'll get an opportunity to get some work to find out what he can do. Tony has played left tackle and started a left tackle in this league. As soon as he picks up and learns the offense, I think that we could see him there as well. And then the other thing that we're going to do is we're going to take Allen and give Allen some work at tackle as well, because, you know, he's played that all along. And so we're going to put the weight on his shoulders to learn two positions. You know, guard is totally new for him, but he is comfortable at tackle, feels more comfortable there. So we're going to tell him you got to learn guard and tackle, and then we're going to play him at tackle some. So we're trying to cover our bases, you know, as we go into this thing.
So what exactly is going to happen at that swing tackle position? It could be Stevenson. Jeff Allen's getting some reps there. Tony Ugo was signed wide open. We also, Mitch, had our first injury of training camp yesterday. Doesn't look good for Kyle McCarthy. He's carted off by trainers with an injury. It looked like his right knee coming off the field. Our reports, and you and I didn't see it, reports that he was on the sidelines and someone rolled into him. And it doesn't look good, Romeo Crennel said today. A tough break for a guy who's trying to make this roster. He's been a special teams player in this league, an undrafted player going into his third year.
And he's bounced around with a couple of teams and trying to make it work here. Yesterday, in my finding the 53, it's somewhat ironic. We were working on that yesterday, and the fact that there's 19 defensive backs in this camp, most of those are safeties. Let's be honest. I mean, there's a busload of safeties in this camp, so it's going to be tough on Kyle anyway, but now it becomes really difficult. And just an unfortunate circumstance. It wasn't like he was in pads, he got blocked, or went up to make a hit and it twisted. It's just really one of the more unique ways of getting hurt, and yet it's a tough, tough thing for Kyle. He's a great person, a guy that's going to continue to try to make it.
Yeah, we don't know exactly the final ruling on him. As Crennel said, it didn't look good. They have to wait till the swelling goes down to know if there's torn ligaments or what exactly is going on in the knee. All we know is it doesn't look good. Tough break for McCarthy. And, you know, Mitch, I hate to bring it up, but you look at the injuries this team suffered with the ACLs and the knees last year. Martin Rucker, a knee injury on IR, and if McCarthy, if it looks the way Romeo Crennel alluded to, and he ends up being on the shelf for a while and it's a knee, we got to get these knee injuries out. Injuries are going to happen, but, you know, you'd like to hear something other than a knee being what's hurt with this team, because that seems to be the general consensus over and over and over. It's someone's knee that ends up getting injured.
Well, I mean, it's an interesting injury. We see it in all sports, not just football, you know, whether it's ACLs or MCLs or patella. But it's interesting, people get bigger and stronger playing this game, and really in all of professional sports, you can't make your knee ligaments bigger. I mean, you can try to work on the muscles around it, but honestly, it's much like foot injuries, which I see a gazillion of in Division I basketball. You can't make your foot any stronger. The guys are bigger, faster, stronger. So the knee thing is just something that's there, and you try to, you know, build up your stamina and strength around it, like your quads and your upper and lower part of your leg. But man, I mean, it's going to be a part of the game, unfortunately.
It's going to be hot. It's going to be full padded practice. If it were up to Brandon Albert, he would be out there. Unfortunately, the CBA is going to keep him. However, he did talk about the mentality and the excitement as a team of going forward into this first full padded practice.
What's your impression of some of the new guys, Jeff Allen, Donald Stevenson?
You guys going to be these good players in this league. You know, these guys work on some things and learn the NFL, you know, how the NFL works and how you take care of yourself, and them guys will be pretty good.
How does David Mims look coming in his second year?
Looks pretty good, man. He's improving. He doesn't have a deer in the headlights, man. He looks like he knows what he's doing, and he's improving very well.
You've had to get used to some new offensive coordinators. What's your impression of Brian Daboll?
He's a good coach. He's a hard-nosed coach. You know, he's in our butt all the time. He wants to know our details, and he's honest.
It should be fun. Kendrick Lewis is back on the field as well, Mitch, and he's going to be tested with that injured shoulder, injured pec. You mentioned the last time this team was in full pads, it was week 17, Tim Tebow, and that's where Kendrick Lewis tore that pectoral muscle. If you remember, he closed the gap on Tebow, ended up wrapping up Tebow, getting a tackle, forcing a fumble, and also tearing up his pectoral muscle on that play. Finished that game, had off-season surgery to repair that, and has been out all the off-season. Of course, along with Eric Berry and Jamal Charles and Tomi Aki, is practicing here. He's wearing a brace, and he's a guy who's going to be participating as well today.
Yeah, and with pads on, he's the kind of guy who likes to stick his nose right in the middle of it. I mean, he's one guy that's hard to throttle back on because he likes to hit. But he really is one of the toughest and smartest players on this football team. You know, 2 years ago, Eric Berry, that we see here, called Kendrick Lewis the Peyton Manning of the Chiefs defense. But he is very, very bright, and he is really one of the leaders on this team. Not necessarily a rah-rah guy that you hear a lot from, but very, very smart, a dedicated pro, and a guy that has a bright future in the league.
Yeah, we talked to Kendrick yesterday about what it's like to come back, about full pads, and really kind of being the forgotten member of this injured crew. You have Brandon Sylan there, too, with the Achilles injury that he suffered last preseason. Yeah, Kendrick Lewis didn't miss any time. He played all season last year for the Chiefs, but he's been itching to get back on the field as well.
How are you feeling, you coming off that shoulder?
I'm feeling good. You know, I'm communicating well with the trainers and everything. Shoulder's feeling good. We're just going to, you know, take it slow and see how it goes from here.
Any problems with that shoulder right now?
None at all. You know, it's feeling good. I'm trusting it. I'm comfortable. So we're just going to go and see how it goes from here.
Are you excited for tomorrow with pads coming on?
Absolutely, man. I didn't feel them since our last game, January against Denver. I can't wait. You know, I'm excited. I'm happy to be out here with my team and, you know, the camaraderie we got building around each other. I'm just excited to be out here, man.
Even if it's 109 tomorrow?
We with it. We got to do it. It's our job, and we love it. So we're going to do it.
Different feel with this camp?
Yeah, I mean, it's a different feel. You know, you feel the togetherness in the team and the coaching staff. You know, you feel how we rally around each other, how we push each other. So, you know, it's all good things coming from here.
Well, if all goes well, Mitch, it's going to be Lewis and Barry back there. Abram Elam, who started 16 games for the Cowboys last season, he'll be a guy who's back in the secondary as well. We know Romeo Crennel loves those three safety sets, loves to use multiple defensive backs. Just think of John McGraw and the role he played as the Chiefs' third safety the past few years and how much we saw him on the field. But there's still room for more players, and that's where it gets interesting in the competition for depth and safety. You took a look a little bit earlier this week, and you're finding the 53. To kind of bounce off your report, we've seen some interesting things in walkthrough with the second team. Local fans will be happy to hear. Tyson Hartman looks like he's been getting some second team reps. Daquan Menzies in there, the fifth round draft pick, kind of getting some looks to safety. But pretty interesting to see Hartman up there with those ones and twos and kind of getting those walkthrough reps.
Yeah, I love the video we just saw of Kendrick Lewis. That is Kendrick Lewis.
Right.
And I think it's very understated. I'm not sure any of us really appreciate enough what Kendrick Lewis means to this defense. You saw him working with Javier Arenas. He's talking with Emmett Thomas. He's back there coaching the other guys. And he's got ball skills. You know, getting to your safeties, how many other teams in the NFL, I'll just throw this out there, of their starting secondary players, Kendrick Lewis right here, Eric Berry, Stanford Rout, and Brandon Flowers, all four of those guys have pick sixes, and some of them have multiple. His interception return against Oakland last year was one of the sickest, meaning sick being good, plays in the NFL all year. It was an amazing play by him. Some think he's, you know, he's not super athletic. He's athletic enough, but, I mean, this is a guy that's perfect back there. And that segues into your question, because he is a perfect guy to talk to a Tyson Hartman, the rookie free agent at K-State, Daquan Menzies, the draft pick out of Alabama, and get them integrated into their role and into this defense. Because as we've said before, and this is on both sides of the ball, the thing that impresses me most about this team, saw it in the spring, and I've saw it here since Friday, is different guys doing different things. There's really, people aren't pigeonholed into one thing. And on the defensive secondary, we're seeing Menzies, a guy that's athletic enough but powerful enough against the run. You can see them kind of, their wheels are turning about Tyson Hartman, like, what did we get here, as an undrafted player? And then you see Jaleel Brown, and we saw that in the spring, how creative they want to be with him. So we're starting to see a little definition, even just a couple, 3 days into camp, at a lot of different spots. But this safety position is really an interesting one to follow over the next 3 weeks.
Mitch, it goes back to opportunity. We did a whole show during OTAs about opportunity with Lewis and Barry out of OTAs. You had Terrence Parks in there getting the first team. Tyson Hartman was right in there. Romeo Crennel had a chance that you don't normally get that time of year to throw these undrafted rookies right into the fire and say, hey, do we have anything here with these guys? And Hartman was a guy who got a ton of reps with the ones, with the twos, all over the place during OTAs. And you'd have to think that he probably showed something there that's earning him this early opportunity to get more looks in training camp. And if you can parlay off that opportunity, always a good thing. Another guy who's playing multiple positions now, we mentioned Travis Daniels, has played cornerback throughout his career, played safety during OTAs and the mini camp. Even said just a few days ago he expected to just play safety here at camp. Well, now we're seeing him do both in practices. He's lining up at corner. He's lining up at safety. And we talked to him about that yesterday. Travis saying he's pulling double duty and is doing whatever he can to make sure he makes this football team.
You get all these reps at safety. Now you're back at corner, maybe playing a little of both. What about doing both jobs, basically?
I take it as an honor, you know, that coaches even feel like I'm able to go out there and compete at both positions. To play both jobs is definitely a hard task, you know, on the learning end of it. But, you know, they have enough confidence in my ability to do it. I've been playing safety and corner and the nickel position, even in college and stuff. So now it's not anything that's foreign to me. You know, maybe a new player that never experienced playing different positions, maybe it'll be a lot tougher for them. But for myself, I'm used to doing things like that. And I understand that in this league, you know, you're playing with the best of the best all the time. The one way for you to prolong your career as long as possible is to be able to play the multiple positions, also special teams as well. So I take pride in the fact that they call my number to do all those different roles, and I try to go out there and execute them to the best of my ability.
Daniel's a very interesting player. We've seen him in starting roles, filling in for Flowers on the outside. You remember he stepped up a few years ago at Seattle, had a nice pick. I believe he had a pick against Oakland in the pick parade, the pick six parade of Kyle Bowler, who announced his retirement, by the way, yesterday, and Carson Palmer in that game. Daniel's just an interesting player, Mitch, and another guy that you got to factor in the mix. And when you're looking at these last guys in the defensive backfield, do they keep 9, do they keep 10, 8? Where does he factor in with Jaleel Brown and all those guys? A guy definitely to pay attention to at camp.
Very smart, again, also tricky athleticism, and he can do a bunch of different things on special teams. He can cover, he can block. And I think that's where, you know, again, the strength of this team to me is the multiplicity of things that guys can do. And he's one of those. So when you put your team together, like we're talking about finding the 53, it becomes mathematics. Do you keep how many safeties to keep how many corners? 4 corners, 5 safeties. Well, if you've got 4 corners, 4 safeties, and a guy that can do both, which is like a Jaleel Brown or a Travis Daniels, now it becomes even more powerful. And you can keep 9 DBs. Specifically when they become core special teams guys.
Well, it is full pad today, and as we've said, it's been Dontari Poe, the center of attention on a day like today. What do you want to see from him when they go O-line, D-line, and when he puts on pads for the first time? Obviously, they're not going to be taking guys down to the ground. And what should fans be looking for when they come to training camp for a guy like Poe to see if he's doing what he needs to be doing in the full padded practice?
Well, again, I'm going to encourage fans, if you're coming out today, if you're close, or are you going to come out in the next couple of days when they're in pads, watch the offensive and defensive linemen. I know we get enamored with following the football, and we should. You want to watch that too. But training camp to me is awesome when you see the O-line and D-line go at each other. For Dontari Poe, what do I want to see? This guy's a freak athlete. Can he turn it loose outside of doing these things on the combine? This isn't Olympic competition in the floor exercise. This is football. So will he shy away from the physical contact facing the first team defensive guys? You know, in individual drills, they're going to run 9-on-7 today. They're going to do some team run. They're going to do, of course, 11-on-11 work. Is he going to back off a step, or is he going to turn it loose? The other thing I'd like to see from him, if they do this today, they may not, is if they play him in some one-gap scheme stuff. I don't think he's going to be just a straight two-gap player like they've used their nose tackles in the past. I think they see that they've got a weapon in him at times to get him up the field, much like an Alan Bailey can do that we see right here. Because we saw glimpses of it in the spring with Poe, where he has explosive first-step quickness.
Glenn Dorsey's the veteran of this position group, and he talked about not only Dontari Poe, but how they're coming as a unit. I mean, if Poe becomes a day-one starter, whether it's in base or the sub-package, if it's in base, you're looking at 2 top-5 draft picks on the ends. You're looking at the number 11th overall pick in the middle. Behind them, you have Derek Johnson, who's a first-round pick. You have Tom Ali on the edge, who's a first-round pick. Mitch, you can see what the Chiefs have tried on a long-term commitment that dates back prior to the Scott Pioli, Todd Haley, Romeo Crennel regime. This is investment in trying to make a defensive front seven. A lot of people very pumped about this defense, but it starts right there. Glenn Dorsey gave us an update about what he thinks about that front seven.
This is the first time you're coming into camp without an established veteran and nose tackle. Can you just talk about the expectations for that position and what you're seeing from these guys?
Well, I mean, first of all, up front, it's big expectations no matter what, whether it's Tyson or myself, you know, and we're going to need every position, you know, and it ain't just the nose guard, you know, me, Tyson and I and, you know, the guys behind us and the guys who's working, we all going to have to get it together and get it right soon, you know. So we all working together with a positive attitude, and we're going to be ready to go.
What about Poe specifically?
He's working just like everybody else, man, you know. He's young, and, you know, we all working to try to perfect our technique, and we come out every struggle every day. You know, you got to fight through it. It's going to be hot, but, you know, I think everybody's got a good mindset and just ready to work.
How tough is it to be a young player, you've been in that position, and come up and not be able to hit?
It is, you know, because, I mean, is the tempo is still fast, but at the same time, you know, you don't have any pads on, so you can't use what you have, you know. So, I mean, you just got to just know that and just look forward to putting pads on to really show what you can do.
Can you be a leader for some of these nose tackles, though, having been, you know, you've been in that position
Yeah,
before?
It's some things that I can take to them, you know, and, you know, I'm still learning myself, you know. But we work together as a group, man. We got a great group of guys with a tremendous attitude, and, you know, we just working hard to be the best we can be.
Now, Glenn Dorsey, always a great interview, personal guy, and going to be a big, big part of this defense going forward. In our live chat room, and a lot of great conversation going on from backup quarterbacks to the defense, and, of course, to Dwayne Bowe. Mitch, a lot of people asking questions. What's the latest on Dwayne Bowe? What are we hearing on the ground here in camp? Is he going to report? Is he going to hold out the whole time? What have you heard since you've been in camp?
Well, honestly, I thought he'd be here by now. I'm perplexed why he's not. There's no reason to me that he wouldn't be here. And I've said this before, and this is just me speaking now. This is not the team. But the stuff that Dwayne Bowe needs in his game to make him a notch higher, more of an elite receiver in the league, are all the things they're going to be working on today, tomorrow, the next 4 days, the next 2 weeks. And that is playing just straight football, not game planning. Listen, to me, the MVP so far of the first 3 days of training camp, in my opinion, is Brian Daboll. I'm excited, man. I mean, even watching those walkthroughs, I see what he wants to do with this offense, what he wants to create, mismatch-wise, being creative. And as I said before, and I tweeted this the other day, this train has left the station. And nobody's talking about Dwayne. They're just focused and moving on. Now, they'd love to have Dwayne be their teammate this year and have him here. Dwayne needs to be here. I mean, this offense is somewhat complicated, and they're working. The other guy that I'm impressed with is Jonathan Baldwin. He seems like a totally different cat this year. And I don't know, we talked about it yesterday a little bit of maybe why or where, but he's working like crazy and working very closely with Matt Cassel, trying to get that sixth sense, which is so important in the National Football League. I've not heard anything more on Bowe other than, just wait and see. I think his agent is very involved here. That's just me saying that.
Well, they're always involved, aren't
they? Well, I know, but nobody ever talks about the agent. They don't have any accountability. They talk about the player, the team, or Scott Pioli, or Dwayne Bowe.
Todd Frantz. No one talks about the agent ever.
I mean, Todd Frantz is his agent. And, you know, the questions I have, and I don't know, if I asked Todd Frantz, was he with Larry Fitzgerald this summer? Did he do that extra work that he did in 2010? Dwayne Bowe can be a very, very good receiver. But this league, and I'll say it again, it's not only about talent, it's about technique. And the greatest players in this league have both. But we've seen great players also become great on technique and some talent. And right now, what I'm seeing out of Jonathan Baldwin is a guy that at least is all in and working at his individual game and being a great teammate so far.
You know what I'm looking forward to with Pads? Other than O-line, D-line, and it doesn't get enough run, is Jonathan Baldwin. Mitch, this is a guy, last year, when he came in the league, he struggled getting off the line of scrimmage early. That's something he needed to work on. That was a knock on him coming out of Pitt, was the big thing, big play.
And Dwayne Bowe struggled with that, too.
Right, but that was the thing he needed to work with. Right.
But that's a technique issue.
Exactly.
I just don't bull you over.
And who's he going to go against today?
Well, he's going against
Stanford Route, one of the best press man cover corners in the league. He's going to get up in Jonathan Baldwin's face. They're going to have one-on-ones with the receivers and D-backs. And if you want to get good at getting off the line of scrimmage and you're going against Stanford Route every single day at practice, that's some great stuff for him to develop his skills just from going up against Route every single day. That's another one-on-one matchup that people don't talk about that you don't get unless the pads are on, and that will come today as well.
And here's my point, Josh. A month from now, you get limited time in working on your steps, hand work. It's Karate Kid kind of stuff to get off the line of scrimmage many times.
Mean Joe Kim Karate Kid.
Well, you got it. I mean, watch Tom Bahali. He does it every day. But the point to be made is a month from now, you start to work on the game. You're starting to think about the Atlanta Falcons, and so you start to put in game plan and things like that. There's just limited time, less time, to work on technique and doing these things correctly. And that's why these next 2 weeks and 3 weeks are very important to be in camp, specifically for a wide receiver.
You're going to talk about full speed ahead. Romeo Crennel said he hopes to have that offensive playbook basically installed, all the basics, by Family Fun Day, which is August 4th. That's a week from yesterday. So the installation is flying left, right, left, right. He wants to get it all and then work on that, what they know, going forward throughout the rest of the preseason. There's limited time that you have to work on things in the preseason with the new CBA, with your time frame being shrunk throughout the offseason. So that should tell you. So 1 week in camp, they want to have a brand new offense, and they've worked on it some in the OTAs, completely ready to go where they can hone in on all sorts. They want it installed as much as they can by Family Fun Day. That's August 4th, Mitch. What is today? Is it the 30th of July? Well, you're right. There's a lot of things going on right now for this offense. And
keep in mind, the Cardinals come in the next week. They'd like to – I mean, that's going to limit some of the installation because you don't want to give a bunch of stuff away to them, honestly. But you'd like to have it put in there. But the other thing to watch if you're a fan coming to practice is always look at the down and distance marker. Sometimes we're just kind of watch the play. Now, take a glance and take a half second and see what the down and distance is and then turn back to the field. because Romeo said the first and down stuff, first and second stuff they'd like to put in today, I do notice they're going to work on some third down stuff. So many times I'll make the same mistake. I'll just watch the play, but I go, oh, I should have checked down and distance, because you'll see how they're installing it and the process it takes to do that to have that playbook ready to go.
Well, we're getting all amped up right here on the Chiefs Live set. Another thing that got me amped up yesterday was talking to Kevin Boss, and he'd been working with Tony Moiaki throughout the season off the field, but he's been talking about how he wanted to work it on the field. Now we're seeing those two tight end sets with Moiaki, with Boss, and I talked to Kevin yesterday, he mentioned, he gave me the greatest answer ever. I asked him, like, what are you looking for yourself in this production? He said, you know, at this point in my career, all I want to do is win. That's all I want to do. Kevin Boss has been had a great camp already, had three good catches yesterday. You see him working with Moiaki, and it gives you more hope for this offense. Here's what Kevin had to say, not only about working with Tony now, but the start to camp for him as well.
Tight end Kevin Boss with us following Chiefs practice. Kevin, this whole offseason, you and Tony didn't get to work together, but you talked about it. You said you were looking forward to working with him. He said the same about you, and now you have a couple practices under your belt working together. How's it been?
Oh, it's been great, you know, just to finally get on the field together and, you know, something like you said, something we've been talking about all spring, and now that it's finally here, it's exciting and just, you know, kind of both kind of licking our chops about all the possibilities with us on the field together.
Can you learn anything different about one another than maybe you couldn't in the off season? In a short time now there, you're actually on the field and doing the same thing?
You know, we're just... you know, talking a lot, you know, that's kind of just helping each other out, seeing different things, watching each other when the other one's out there, and coming back and talking about what we're seeing, what we can do differently, and what the defense is doing, and so that's real helpful, and just and learning the offense together and getting out there and executing it.
It's pretty interesting with all the injured guys that came back. You know, Peyton and Jamal were working together with the ones in the backfield. You and Tony, the first play of team was a two tight end set. Just the general feeling, not even with Tony, but with this team and the key guys that were hurt last year and everyone kind of coming back. Did that give the team as a whole a little bit of a drive yesterday?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I think we're all excited about you know, the potential that this offense has, and you know, just getting some guys healthy back that weren't here last year, and then, you know, bringing guys in like Peyton Hillis and Eric Winston. It's just it's really exciting.
And what about you and your goals? I talked to Coach Bernie Parmalee this offseason after OTAs were over, and I asked him one thing that surprised him, and he said with you it was the way you ran, your agility. So he knew you were a good blocker, knew you had good hands, but you moved better than he thought. And today you had a couple good catches. What are your goals? What do you hope to do in this offense?
You know, at this point in my career, I just want to win. You know, that's kind of one of the reasons I came here. You know, I saw the potential that this team has, and a lot of young talent. And you know, I just want to get out there and win some football games and get back into the playoffs and make a push for the Super Bowl. And I really think that this team has what it takes.
No, just listen to that interview right there, Mitch. You can see what Boss brings to this team beyond the fact of Tony's had some injury issues. Last year, the tight end situation was a disaster after Tony left, and there was the most penalized group on the team, not a lot of production. And so Kevin's there for a possible starting role, if insurance role, but there you see what he's there for off the field as well.
Listen, when you put two tight ends on the field, or you show a team two tight ends, what does the defense do?
They're going to keep their base defense in.
They keep base defense in or put extra safeties. These guys can beat safeties, he and Moiaki, on passing plays. This is a little bit like the Patriots do with Gronkowski and Hernandez. They'll show you two tight ends, you put safeties out there at base, and then boom, those guys go down the field. We have seen Boss go down the rail now about every practice session here and throughout the spring. Moiaki, we know he's got great skills in pass catching. Boss isn't far behind him. With both of those guys out there, it creates a great opportunity for this Chiefs offense. Now, I'm not giving away trade secrets here, because there's 1,000 things they're going to do, even with those guys on the field. And in the case of Kevin Boss, he's not deficient in blocking. Many times you'll see a great receiving tight end not be the greatest blocker, but Kevin can block as well. Now, let's go back in time. We all know about Tony Gonzalez and having the great career he had. Who was a second complimentary tight end to Tony Gonzalez, like a Kevin Boss?
Chris Wilson. No, Jason Dunn. I'm kidding.
There would be none. Okay, zero. You go back through as Ted Popson or somebody like
right,
that.
Right. Willie
Tate. The point is, if you have a Tony Gonzalez, but you have a Kevin Boss or a Moiaki, that can be devastating in the National Football League. The Chiefs have not had a duo like this ever.
I've gone back and forth with fans about this. And I even wrote something that kind of got crushed. I compared the Gronkowski, Hernandez, and what the Chiefs were entering that tight end's arms race. Yes, the Gronk and Hernandez, the reason they're so good is because they're so unique. They have it going on in New England. Boss and Moyaki aren't Gronk and Hernandez, okay? But they're in that next tier of players. Now, what do the Chiefs have, though, that New England doesn't have? Jamaal Charles, Peyton Hillis. So you've got guys who can play that. Yeah, they may not be elite tight ends like Gronk and Hernandez in that system, but you have guys that can do those same things well. And then you're adding in what could be the league's top run game. You put that all offense together, and you don't need Gronk and Hernandez. You need two guys that can run the rail and create mismatches, but also open up, be a good blocker. And some of those guys are deficient in run blocking. Aaron Hernandez is a horrible blocker. He's awful. He can't block anybody. And the Chiefs won't have that issue with Boss. He'll be on the edge, and you might have Steve Benary in there using as a tackle eligible. You're right. The two tight end set, you don't need to compare them to New England, but they don't have to be New England with what the Chiefs have in the backfield.
It's the second part of evolution in the National Football League. The first part of the evolution was finding the athletic tight end who had wide receiver skills, Tony Gonzalez, Antonio Gates. I get asked by scouts, because I know I do college basketball, and they're serious about this. They say, do you see anybody that could be a tight end who plays college basketball? Because
right.
They want to find the next Gates kind of guy. But Gates hasn't had a complimentary player in San Diego like
there's
these
the
two
rail
are.
You were talking about
there's
right there.
The rail.
And you saw Moyaki running it out on the other side, and he looks off Moyaki and hits Boss down the rail.
And it's going to be Reed's many times. Many times you're not going to be able to defend it, even if you know what's coming, because somewhere in there you're going to have a mismatch where the Chiefs will have the advantage. I can't think of a time. I don't want to overstate this and give you kinds of false hope, because there's a lot of work to do here. But I can't think of a time, Josh, that there have been this many complementary things on offense that the Chiefs can use, meaning you have five weapons many times going out on a route. And if you've got five weapons, you will have an advantage somewhere on a defense. Rarely does a defense, maybe the Ravens are an exception, where they've got five to match your five. And it's what Green Bay has been able to do. It's what New England has done for a long, long time. But if you've got five skilled guys that you can create a mismatch somewhere in there, this could get good.
We're already out of time, Mitch. I feel things kind of got amped up a little bit today on the show. Is it the first day of pads? Is that what's going on over here? Things got amped up.
We'll never get used to it, baby.
And we'll tell you all about how the first day of pads went tomorrow. Same place, same time on KCChiefs.com. 2 p.m. right here. Follow us all training camp long for exclusive looks. If you've seen a practice footage you can't get anywhere else, Chiefs Live brought to you by Heartland Health here in St. Joseph, Missouri.
Women's Wellness Initiative, Cow Plunge,
Fourth Grade Challenge,
Diabetes Expo.
As a key sponsor of Mustangs Baseball and Chiefs Training Camp, Heartland is a number one fan for a healthy St. Joseph.